What is going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And this morning, we have an amazing guest, and I'm excited to hear her story. So let's get right into it. Megan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks so much. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So you are a stay-at-home mom of three children.
I have three kids.
And a former interior designer who worked downtown in Chicago. What led you to the internet and then eventually to Legendary?
It's a great question. So yes, I went to school for interior design and I worked downtown at an awesome firm, high-end residential and commercial, but it was a lot of hours. And then I started having babies. And I have three kids, like you said, a five-year-old, a three-year-old who just turned three the other day, and then wow, an almost two-year-old. So being that there's three of them, they need me all the time, but they're expensive. So I needed to find a way that I can contribute to our family's income without being away from them. And I knew that going back to my old 9-to-5 was just not an option. It just took way too much out of me. So I started looking around at options and I saw someone on Instagram and posting about Legendary Marketer and that they were working from home and living the good life at home, being with their kids. And right, I just watched and watched for months. And finally, one day I was like, you know what? I think this is my answer. So I was all in. I just went for it. And it's just been such a great experience. And I'm so glad I don't have to go to that 9-to-5 that I did before, because it would have been impossible to be able to be the present stay-at-home mom that I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And having kids that young, in case anybody is curious about if that is also a full-time job, it's a full-time job for each individual child. So if you have three children, it's actually three full-time jobs, just in case anybody's curious about the level of work that it takes to take care of young children. I only know because I'm right in the middle of it right now. We have two, 1-6 and 1-1-1. Nice. So trying to balance that between a full-time job that you work outside of the house is a challenge that I think parents have faced for decades, for generations now. How do you feel things will be different in your family in your future if you're able to be more present with your children than maybe your parents were with you or your grandparents were with them? How do you think your children's lives and your family's lives as a whole will be different as a result of this?
Well, my mom was a single mom and she was a teacher. So she was working a lot during the school year. She was luckily off all summer, which I had that huge benefit of. And her sister actually took care of me while she was at work. So I spent a lot of time with her. She chose to stay at home with me. So I saw and we lived across the street from each other and my mom and her sister were like super close. So I got the benefit of having kind of a stay-at-home mom all the time. And I knew I reaped the benefits from it. I mean, someone was always there. Someone took me to school, picked me up from school. I never had to go to daycare. I had so much one-on-one time of playing and being read to. And I think it showed in my schooling and just my confidence level and just so many things. So I love that I can do that for my kids as well. That was super important to me before we had kids. Okay. That was going to be part of it.
Great. I mean, I didn't expect that answer. That's really cool. And once, if you have that and you recognize that and you're grateful for that, then I could understand how you would absolutely feel like you were doing a disservice to your children if you weren't able to also be there for them. How do you think that this internet opportunity, because it's not just what we're doing here at Legendary, it's really people are doing all kinds of different things. You know, Etsy's become a huge place that people have gone to with their arts and crafts or their unique handmade creations. Shopify has been a place to where people have done an enormous amount of drop shipping, whether it's from shipping items over from overseas and sort of, or if it's building your own brand, of course, people are doing Amazon stuff. And then there's people like us who are selling information and selling courses and doing affiliate marketing. But how do you think what happened in 2020, in 2021, and the way that people now view making money and what's, you know, kind of like hard work equaling money. How do you think people's just whole approach to earning a living has, or a lot of people's approach to earning a living is now different? And it seems like a lot of the government and the various reports that they it's almost like people are sitting around scratching their head, like kind of like wondering, why are people not going back into the labor force? Why something changed from your perspective, from a former interior designer in Chicago, a stay-at-home mom, somebody who's got a unique perspective. What do you think is different now? And how do you articulate what is different now than in 2020 and before?
I think it's, I mean, a weird twist to it is I think it's a really kind of cool thing that happened in this kind of online space aspect, because people realize that you could make money from home. You didn't have to be in an office. You could stay home with your family and have a little bit more of that like work-life balance. And I think a lot of people got a taste of that during the COVID situation. So they were able to like enjoy those benefits. And now that people are starting to go back into the workforce out of the office, I'm sure more and more, but people are realizing that that's not the only option that they have. And there's other ways to do things. And I think it also helped legitimize making money online, because people think of it sometimes as like a negative or not real or like a fictitious thing that's not an actual option. So I love that it's opened up people's eyes to be like, okay, the online world is not that scary. There's so many things that we can do here in this online space, and we can enjoy it from our home and spend more time with our kids and doing other things that we like to do.
It's not that scary and it's not that scammy, right? As the whole world, the whole world once thought that it was. However, a lot of people still even do get kind of pinned down as that seems scammy or feels scammy. And we have a lot of people in our community that say, hey, you know, how do you respond to negative comments? And how do you respond to people who are calling you a scam and this and that? And, you know, for me, my response to that is always, well, maybe you are coming off a little bit scammy. Like, maybe take the feedback.
Right.
And just like I was listening to a video last night, it was after midnight last night, I was getting ready to go to bed. And I just was watching some YouTube videos and something a quick video from Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger came on, and they said, you know, Charlie was telling this story about how they were going to buy this business, and they weren't going to pay a penny more for it. They were right at this number, $25 a share or whatever, and they weren't going to pay a penny more for it. And they were real set in their ways. That was their final offer, you know, and they were playing hardball. And they had somebody say to them, and I can't remember who they said it was, but you guys would be idiots to not pay more for that business. And they took that constructive feedback instead of getting defensive, instead of saying, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually took it, the feedback, and that business happened to be See's Candy, which, I mean, today is one of their favorite businesses. It's pumped out, you know, over $1 billion of free cash flow to these guys. And it's a massive business that they privately own outright. Yeah. And, you know, what they paid for it initially was, I think, $25 million, and they weren't going to pay a penny more for it. And so, you know, when people, our followers or people out there on the internet, give you feedback, the first thing, my advice to do would be to just consider it before you get defensive and take it as like somebody is attacking you. Like, there's a book called The Four Agreements, and one of the kind of principles is don't take things personal. And man, is that powerful in your personal life. Like, if your wife or husband or somebody comes in the house and says something to think, wow, I wonder what's going on in their day, that this can't be about me. It's got to be, right? To not take it personal, you have an edge emotionally. But when we're marketing, we tend to take everything personal. So how that would be my advice to people is to consider the feedback. Don't let it drown you. Don't let it get you down. Don't internalize it and make it into more than what it is or overanalyze it. But if more than one person gives you the same feedback that your content is coming off schemey or scammy, or you're marketing like a used car salesman or just coming off, then just consider that. Right. It may or may not be true, but just sit with it for a second and say, what if it is true? And how might I be able to adjust that? So that would be kind of how I would approach that. But how would you respond, or how have you dealt with negative criticism, or what advice would you give to somebody who is saying, hey, people are saying that the online world is scary, it is scammy, and I'm having a hard time reaching my audience?
For sure. Well, I think, first of all, I would look back on which one they're talking, like which reel I've posted that they're commenting on, because I'm like, I would want to know that for the future. Like if some people are seeing this as a like scammy type of post, I would want to be able to switch that so I wasn't coming across that way, because I'm not trying to. So right. I would try to look inward and see what I can adjust. But I think that explaining to people more on like the business aspect of affiliate marketing and just being like, it's been around for so long. Like there's so many reputable companies that do it. Like I think it's 86% of all companies do it. So like if something's being backed by Amazon and Walmart and Target, like these huge, huge company names, they wouldn't put their name on something like that. And this is just a marketing tool for them. So it's not, it's just spreading the word of products. It's not being a scammy, pushy salesman. It's just, you know, these companies wouldn't link on to these concepts of affiliates and having other people promote their products if it was, you know, that would look horrible.
If it was fraudulent or something, right? Which a scam, when people say something's a scam, they're essentially calling it a fraud. And Amazon's not going to have a
name backing. I feel like if they realize that that's what it is, like those companies are, that's exactly what they're doing and how they're promoting. It's a little bit more legitimized and less
it is
in their head, I guess.
It is. And the reason why I'm asking you that is just because, you know, when this online thing is still new to a lot of us. I mean, a lot of us in 2020, 2021, we came online. Am I right? How many of you came online in 2021 and this is kind of new, right? I'm sure it's over half, right? You. And so, you know, we get online and we go right on TikTok or wherever. And I see a lot of people, even some of our clients, they will buy our training, enroll in the blueprints, for example, and then just be so excited, want to just get right out there. And you know, unfortunately, what happens is you end up just sounding like an annoying salesperson, you know, instead of delivering value, like you just did. You explained kind of what affiliate marketing was and let me know that some of the biggest companies in the world do it. But what a lot of our content ends up being out there is just kind of like a sales pitch to make money at home. And it's like there's no real edutainment. And that's what we teach inside of the blueprints, is the concept of edutainment. That's what the fishing formula is about. It's about going through and understanding the history of this stuff, understanding how to position yourself. Mm-hmm. And I even go through in the fishing formula training inside of the blueprints specifically about not mentioning the name of the company and even the name of the product that you're promoting. And so although it's not a sin, it's still how some of us get into trouble is when an educated prospect will not only not complain, they'll buy. Mm-hmm. And if they're complaining or they're not understanding or they're calling you a name, scary, scammy, whatever, then it's because you didn't educate them on anything. You just kind of threw your sales pitch to work from home, almost like $15 an hour, work from home. Over here is better than across the street. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder that, you know, there's conflict out there and people feel like it's not legendary marketer against anybody. You guys got to understand this. It's not legendary marketer against anybody. I'm not in competition with anybody. If we have affiliates that sometimes out there are sort of, you know, selling it as if it's like a business opportunity. And of course you're going to get pushback and people are going to call you scammy when you do that. But that could go for any niche. If you just went out there and you were like, you know, hey, you're fat, get skinny. You know, you're fat, get skinny. You know, you got to get skinny now. You know, you just came out and you were just like, you know, or pitching, which I say that just because you've now moved also from the make money online niche, which is where you initially started, to doing some marketing in the health niche, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about that transition of what it's been like to not just come in and you know, get started with one niche, but to actually let some of that knowledge spill over and get started in a completely new niche. And how did that come about?
I just started dabbling in it recently. But yeah, I mean, that's a passion of mine. I'm a healthy liver. I live a healthy lifestyle. I like to work out and eat healthy. And I have little kids who I like to keep active with too. So it was something that I thought I would be able to help motivate other moms. That I feel like I'm a really busy person. As you said, I have 3 full-time jobs. Plus I do this too, because I have 3 little kids. So just to motivate other moms that they can fit things in and they can, you know, take care of themselves and have that self-care. And because it's kind of how we recharge as moms, to be able to eat well and exercise and take care of ourselves. So it's how I maintain.
Get your hair done, go to get your nails done or whatever, do all those kind of things, right?
Yeah. So I started dabbling in the health and fitness niche a little bit more because I wanted to be able to help other moms in that aspect as well, because I think it's also super important for people to take care of themselves. I feel like the world is so busy, and if I can help one person, I would be happy.
It's a great message. It's a great niche. And we are living, folks, in a world where people are exhausted. They are overworked. They're underpaid. Think about the stress that people went through during the last couple of years. Folks were not only going to work, everybody who did still report somewhere, but they were also dealing with the added stress of, oh my gosh, I might catch something that might kill me. Right. Or might kill my mom or an older relative or my, you know what I mean? Like that level of fear that we've had to deal with, human beings, just every single one of us, the message of self-care and even learning how to take care of ourselves again. You know, I mentioned the going and getting pedicures and stuff like that. I mean, taking a time out, even for me to go do something like that, is a gift. It's a gift that I give myself every time I take a time out and I build a routine to make sure that I get the sleep that I need, or I start to find something, I work out in a way that works for me and I can do it without feeling guilty. Or if I miss a day, I don't, right? All these things.
So important. Mm-hmm.
Our emotional and mental health is a huge message. There's a huge need for that. And there's a huge desire for that from the marketplace right now. And so just in case anybody was wondering if that's a good niche, and what could you sell off of the back? What could you market as an affiliate off of the back of an account like that or a niche like that? Oh my Lord. Anything that you use, So for example, I just found this new Bulgarian bag I'm working out with, and it's just like, I love it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I could just, let me go grab it real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. Look, I could just say, hey, look, I've been working out for, you know, I've been working out for 15 years, like for a long time, 12 years, right? In lifting weights, it's been, like, I really honestly don't like lifting weights. I just don't like it, you know? And so I found this Bulgarian bag, right? And it's just, it's so easy. I got my daughter here today too. She's not in school today. So boom, I can do these, right? Mm-hmm. I can, there's all these different exercises.
I've never seen that before.
Oh my God. Look, you can put it up on your shoulder like this. And now you can do your squats. You can do your, you know what I mean? You can do your lunges like this, right? Boom. Yeah, okay. This is entertaining content for people too. Plus they've met, right? That's fairly entertaining watching me, you know, try to act like I know something about exercise. But look, I'm down 10 or 15 pounds. I'm working out 3-4 times a week. I'm eating a little healthier. If I could start a channel right now, and I already kind of do, we do this all the time here at Legendary, same thing, just talking about self-care, things that are working. And right. I could link to that product right there on Amazon, because that's where I bought it. And I could have people going and buying that thing like you wouldn't believe if I had some cool content and some cool stories about this thing.
For sure. And showing how you use it, I think, is really important too. Because
yeah. People
don't want it. I feel like that's part of the thing that you want to make sure doesn't come off as spammy. I don't even like saying the word. But like showing how it's actually fits into your life by using it and showing people how to use things.
I could just sit here. Look at this thing. I could just sit here. Watch this. You just go down and then you lift it up like this, right? So, and it's so easy. And they sell them in 25, 50, 75, 100 pounds.
Wow.
So, you can really get a lot done. You can sling it around.
Product for sure.
You could do the same thing that you do with kettlebells, kettleballs or bells with it. You know, you can swing it around. But look. That's a great example, right? That's a product. Now, I'm not saying that I love selling physical products. It's not really the model that we teach here because, right. You know, I might earn a bigger commission off of that, but there's more money in selling information. The profit margins are bigger and the overhead is lower because there's not a physical product that they have to make and then ship this thing. Can you imagine shipping this thing? It's 70... 50 or 70, how much it costs to ship this. I don't want to be in that business, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a product. It's one video. It's a series of videos. Why I canceled my gym membership for good permanently. And I'm getting in the best shape of my life without ever lifting a single weight.
Yeah.
5-part series coming up next week. Right. Folks, I'm trying to tell you that I can't even slam my hat because your income is capped by your creativity.
It's true. It's true. The creativity and the mindset, I feel like, is what limits people for sure.
What mindset things have been helpful for you? Is it the way that you view yourself? I mean, how have you gotten confident on the camera creating content to be able to?
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us how that's progressed.
Yeah. I'm naturally very, very introverted. I am super happy at home in my own bubble, talking to the same, you know, 5 people. And that makes me, you know, feel good. Mm-hmm. So going out of my comfort zone and making these videos and even being here today, I'm so nervous. even making these videos, it's definitely mindset. So I prepare myself mentally for it by just being like, it's just me. It's just me. No, I'm not talking to anyone else. It's just, you know, no big deal. It's just me and my phone right here. So when I'm recording the videos, I just try to not even think about anyone watching them because it'll make me too nervous. And I even have to, when I'm recording the reels at my house, I'm like, if anyone's around me, like even my kids, when they're around, I'm like, can you give mommy 1 second? So just cause it gets me so nervous. Oh, hi cutie. You said she's 6.
Yeah, she's 6.
I have a 5.5-year-old daughter.
I just rolled over here.
Yeah. Oh,
she just wrote, is this a book you're writing?
Yeah, it's a story.
Oh, I love it. I'll read it when I'm done.
Okay.
See, there's a benefit right there working from home. You get little snippets of the day, little hugs and kisses from your daughter, a little story in a picture.
Yeah, it's the best, man. It's the best. We brought her over here to our office house today because it could be a long day, you know, there with her brother at home if she's there all day. But yeah, it's a huge benefit. But what were you saying? She interrupted and we interrupted.
No, I got distracted by her. I'm like, is she a redhead, by the way? She looks like she has red.
Yeah. Yeah.
My daughters are both redheads. So I just side note. Nice.
Yeah, that's really cool.
What was I even saying? I don't even know what I was talking about. I lost track of.
Yeah, you were what was she talking about? You were talking about something that I thought was, I was really interested in hearing what the heck you were saying. And then she came up and totally.
I lost track, but.
Well, we were talking about mindset, right? And your whole story about becoming confident on video and stuff.
That's right. Okay. But yeah, just, I think putting that out of focus at the moment and just kind of focusing on not competing with other people and not worrying about what other people are going to think. Is helpful to me. I know that everybody, you know, I talk about this all the time, I think online, but like everybody starts at the beginning. Everybody starts at zero. And we all start at the bottom and work our way up. And you can't really compare yourself to other people because nobody starts the exact same way you did. Nobody has the same, you know, products that you're exactly promoting. Like you just can't compare yourself to other people. So I feel like as long as you're focusing on making sure you're doing better than you were yesterday, almost like competing with yourself. I think that's what kind of keeps me in the right mindset. And like, I'm not competing with other people. I'm just trying to improve myself.
Yeah. You're competing with yourself, competing with your last video, right?
Yeah.
I think that's such a more empowering way to look at it is if you can kind of really just look at your own. And if you want to call it competing with yourself, if you want to call it progressing with yourself, I mean, whatever feels good for you, we get really hung up on words and language is important. And I agree with that. So whatever fits for you, but it's a powerful point because competing with others, it's an unfair game. You're betting against the house and you'll never win. You'll never win because you don't know their story. You don't know if it's their 10th day or their 10th year. You don't know all the shit that they're doing behind the scenes that you don't get to see that they're not showing you. Right. And so when you're sitting in your little space and you're, you know, completely different physical space, you can't even talk to that person and you're acting, you know, we trick ourselves and pretend like we know all their information. And it's like an apples to apples comparison. Yeah. And it's not, there's not a single, you are a, you know, there is one pea in your pod. You know what I mean? It's just you. It's just me. And there really isn't anybody that's like me. And there's really nobody that delivers like me. And that was a hard concept to grasp because I really was like, I don't matter. And what I have to say doesn't matter at first. Like I felt like I can remember when I first got started, I literally felt like I had no voice. I was in an ocean on the internet of people who were way louder than I was.
Yeah.
And no matter what I did or say, so my best shot was just to fit in and try to like look like everybody else. That was my thinking. And so I understand people's feeling of feeling like a small fish in a big sea and like your message doesn't matter. Right. But that's never what happens. It's never what happens. It always turns out better than what we think it's going to turn out. And isn't that true in damn near every situation in life? We always future trip and catastrophize pretty much most situations. But the power of giving it a shot and just doing the work and putting all of the expectations aside is the magic of life. It's the magic of business because the majority of the people who say they're going to get started, they don't do that. They got a plan. It's got to be perfect. They never get started. They spend all their time in comparisonitis. And so if you think about this race of business, if it was a race, it's easier to win or place than you thought because the majority of people never get off the starting line.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I think that's definitely true. I think that a lot of people get held up in like the what ifs and the nervousness and don't go for it. And I think that one thing that I think is kind of cool in this space is that, you know, when you're posting a video and when you're sharing something that could help just one person, like that, you're going to encounter people that, you know, people are looking at you the way you look at other people. They're going to look at you and be like, wow, that's super helpful. Or wow, she's doing a great job. Or that, you know, that sounds something like I can do it too. So like you could be inspiring someone that you don't even notice. And here you are self-critical.
You never know it. You right. never know it. Do you? Yeah. We never know until it's like too, like right. no, people don't, that's how the internet works, is you're never going to hear all the good impact you're having. You're only going to hear the negative stuff. And that's what's right. going to stand out most to you as well. It's right. kind of like you could have 100 comments of people who are like, and this is just life. Come on, people, tell me in the comments if you can relate to this. You could have 100 comments of people saying, I love you. And one person says, you're an ugly, ugly son of a bitch in the comments. That's all you can breathe. That's all you see. Is it right. true?
No, it's totally true.
It's that's totally true, mindset. Man.
That's why you got to keep your mindset right and keep everything in perspective. I feel like a lot of the negative comments that come from people is based on misunderstanding or ignorance of like not knowing what things are going on, or jealousy even sometimes.
Totally.
So I think a lot of negative comments stem from that person's issue, not what you're doing necessarily. Unless you're talking about, you know, you're coming off spammy, scammy, look inward. I get that part. But yeah. most of the time, comments are usually misunderstood from another aspect, not you.
Totally, totally. And that is our job, is to sift and sort. That's right. your job as a business owner, is to sift and sort. I mean, that's my job. Imagine if people sent a support ticket or something, the legendary, and it was like kind of had a mean thing, and we were just like, fuck you, you know, or whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. Or right. we were just like, oh, I can't believe it. You know,
right. and then you like something down and shut down. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's professionalism, people. Mm-hmm. This is what it is to run a business. To run a business, to get rich, you have to be able to have somebody in your face saying, you suck, and I want your whole family to be broke. And you have to be able to say, just like Dr. Phil said one time, hold on, watch this. Catch. You remember the Catch Me Outside girl?
I don't know.
All right, watch this.
I don't know.
Hold on. Dr. Phil, he really taught me something when he responded to this young lady, the Catch Me Outside lady. And the way that he responded to it was basically for those of you who remember the Catch Me Outside girl, she was like, catch me outside. And basically she was sitting in a Dr. Phil show and she said, Dr. Phil, you ain't nothing. Oprah made you. I made you. I came on this show. She's 12 at this time, this little girl, right? Oh. Or 13 or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like, Dr. Phil, I made you. You had nothing before I came on this show. Now, whether you hate her, Phil, or not, I don't care. He goes, thank you for that. Just like that.
Wow.
He didn't get crazy. He didn't. Now, most people were paying attention to what the girl was saying, right? But me, I'm a business owner. I'm a father. I'm a husband. When people start coming at me, mm-hmm. and I'm talking to all y'all men, women, you need to figure out how you need to navigate this landscape as a female. But as a male, what I need to remember is that when people come at me, whether it be a customer, whether it be somebody who's saying I ain't shit, whether it's one of my family members, I need to keep my composure.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to respond to the situation, not react. If somebody's saying you ain't shit, Dave, look, there's a lot of people on the internet that say I ain't shit every day, right? Okay. And legendaries, this and that, but we all know the truth. My job is not to react. My job is just to respond. so mm-hmm. I can continue to navigate and captain this ship where we're going. There's going to be lots of people who are going to be shooting their little cannons at our ship and at your ship as you build it and captain your ship. But how, just like Dr. Thank you for that. As she's sitting there in his face on national TV, really making him look bad. I mean, the girls, she's famous now too. She's made a lot of money. She's not dumb. By the way, all y'all who thought she's not dumb, but man, he sat there and he said, thank you for that, you know, and just responded really in a way.
Respond. Like the way you respond and react to people shows a lot about you. And I feel like there's a way you can respond to negativity and positivity that showcase a good, you know, a good person. And it helps you with your mindset and it helps you in business. Cause if you can stay calm and think rationally when you're being thrown attacks like that Dr. Phil was, I feel like that could go a long way in life to be able to respond effectively, not just reactionally.
Yeah, it's really something to be able to, you know, hold your temper and not let somebody who either comments on your video or says something to you, even a family member who thinks that what you're doing is silly or stupid. And by the way, that's not just in this business either. I know people who have all types of professions who maybe a family member or a spouse maybe doesn't, or an ex. That's the worst, when your ex thinks what you're doing isn't, right? It's like, who asked you? But there's all kinds of people who are going to have opinions about what we do. Mm-hmm. I just challenge each of you to ask yourself, is that person paying your bills and taking care of you every day?
Right.
You know, making sure the food gets in your mouth. And, you know, look, the majority of the time, I think we can all say that, no, they're not. You know, no, they're not. If you and your spouse have a disagreement, I'm not going to stand up here and say that I have the answer to people's marriages, because my wife and I have been through a lot of counseling. We've been through a lot of development and just work on our marriage to be able to make it 14 years and be more in love today than we've ever been, through a lot of businesses, a lot of ups and downs, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not here to give marriage advice. What I am here to say is that, you know, when it comes to everybody else, their criticism is it in the real world, it matters about as much as the freckle on the pimple of a gnat's ass.
Yeah, you got to take everybody's criticism and comments with a grain of salt. You have to just kind of let things wash over you, because if you don't, you're just going to get down. Yeah. And it's not important at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not. So a lot of people struggle with getting their traffic and converting that into money, right? So can you give some tips on how you've been able to take some of the attention that you've gotten from your video and actually turn that traffic and those eyeballs into leads, and then actually go on to turn those leads into commissions? And as you said, you know, you were able to earn some pretty significant income from 18 days of starting and launching your business. What are some of the tips that you would give people about getting those specific conversion points to start happening?
I think that as soon as you have any type of like comments and stuff like that, bringing them to the DMs and having like just a real conversation with people is the best way that I've learned how to do this. But just kind of talking to them as a real person, like, I'm not selling anything, I'm not doing anything. It's just like offering value. You mentioned value at the beginning. I feel like asking people questions about their life, what they're kind of struggling with, how, you know, extra income would help them, and just having more of like a friendly conversation has been helpful as far as how I'm converting, you know, just a follower to more than that.
Yeah.
But just having a conversational sales, I think, is the key for me, at least. Of what I found.
Just to be a little bit more specific for those who are listening, so they can try to maybe implement some of these things even as soon as today. No, you wouldn't implement something that fast, would you? Yes.
Do it.
So when somebody comments, are you reaching out to them? Is that what you mean? Or are you giving them a call to action to reach out to you? How does the sequence of events happen?
Sure. Sorry that, yeah, probably came off confusing. So I do a lot
No, not at all. I just want to ask for clarity.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I draw a lot of my comments to my stories because I feel like a lot of people are more likely to interact with me personally in my stories. I make it very
on Instagram.
I'm sorry. Yes, on Instagram. That's where I mainly am. That's where I get actually most of my communication and most of my sales from is on Instagram, which is Make Money with Megan, not Making Money with Megan on that particular platform. But I direct people to my stories, and then it's I use the engagement stickers, and I feel like it's so easy for people to comment or like things, and they ask questions on there. So for me, having very interactive stories allows people to easily engage with me, and it's so easy to just follow up with that story because they're usually answering a question like, is this something that you have a trouble spot for? And people are like, right. Oh, that's me. And then that's an easy way to engage and start.
It is.
So that's been my kind of path as far as that. And still on TikTok and Facebook as well, because I'm on those two platforms as well. But just kind of having that one thing that you're prompting them to easily answer, and then you can get your value and help in that aspect.
So basically you're using TikTok as kind of your as a traffic engine to then push them over to Instagram.
Yeah.
And then in Instagram, you have the story feature, which you can still post reels. You can still post on the timeline, the Instagram timeline, but you now have that story feature where you can talk to them a little bit more, maybe personally, and say, hey, drop a message like money. If this, you know, just send me the word money. If this is something that you can relate to and you'd like me to send you the PDF that I'm talking about, or comment the word or comment the word diet. If you're also tired of diets in crash dieting, or hey, look, I just showed you five stories here real quick of five different exercises that I do with the Bulgarian bag. If you're also tired of going to the gym, just shoot me the word gym. GYM, Jim, in the comments, and I'll shoot you the link over to the Bulgarian bag and you can check it out for yourself, right?
Right, exactly.
It's too easy, folks. Why are we complicating this? You know, it's like that is also the power of the story, though, too. We've been overlooking the story, I think, a lot because we're also obsessed with the viral video, right? But it's like moving them in either over to Facebook or to Instagram where you have that story where they can reply really easily. It really is powerful, huh?
Yeah, I definitely use TikTok as a traffic source to bring to the other programs because I feel like it's easier to have those conversations. And I feel like I'm better able to relate and connect to people when I can talk to them instead of, I feel like you get a lot of, action on TikTok as far as like wanting to know more. And then sometimes it stops because you don't have as much time or a way to communicate with them in that more conversational sales type of thing. So I like to direct people to the other platforms to make those type of exchanges with them.
That's really valuable. That's really, really, really savvy, really valuable. And the specifics of how you're using it is valuable. And it's, is there anything else that you've been doing that you would credit the early financial success to? I hate to give people such a, you know, anytime somebody has a fast result or a big result at the beginning, I like to try to give the disclaimer that like expect nothing and be extremely, and then when a big result comes, such as a larger commission or you earn your first commission or whatever, like savor that and don't get into an addictive, don't let your tolerance build to where like if you don't get a big commission or don't get so many leads or make a sale that day, it's like you're ready to quit. You're like, oh, this doesn't work anymore. I just wanted to kind of throw that in as a side note.
Yeah, I think that people give up too easily and expect them to become overnight millionaires when they're in affiliate marketing. And that's just not realistic. That's not how it helps or how it happens. Maybe it happens to a select few, but that's just not the norm. So I think just staying consistent and providing value and not expecting, like you said, not expecting anything right away. And just, it's kind of a long game. You have to play the long game and just being consistent and make sure you're showing up. And, you know, I feel like the next day when people give up, that's probably the day that you would have gotten a commission because you didn't have enough patience.
I mean, I say this almost weekly, at least, that when I was getting clean, they said, don't quit, Dave, before the miracle happens.
Right.
What was the miracle? I wanted to give up because I was going through withdrawals. The miracle was that the withdrawals would stop. And guess what happened? One day I just woke up and I went an entire day without having any withdrawals or any mental anguish. That was the miracle. That was the miracle. You want to know what the miracle is for you and your business that I'm talking about? It's not some BS. Oh, don't leave before the mail. Here he goes with the miracle talk. No, you want to know what the miracle is in your business? It's where you go an entire day without having without having a desperate thought about money. That you have faith, that you have trust, and that you have vision that what you're doing is going to produce fruit.
Yeah, trust
the process. That's the miracle, man. Trust the process. Mm-hmm. That's the miracle. It's the miracle is when you wake up and you go and you create a full day just in real creation mode. You find your vibe, you find your flow. That's the magic. That's the magic. The magic is when this doesn't feel like work anymore, like the first 30 days when you're trying to set stuff up and or whatever, however long it's taken you to set stuff up and you feel like it's a grind or whatever. The miracle is when you realize that good enough is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be perfect and you don't have to know everything to start. And you just go out there and you start shaking hands and kissing babies and saying hello to people and having conversations and just you let some magic happen. Right.
Yeah,
but until you leave the house, nothing happens.
For sure. Got to start. Nothing's going to come if you don't start. That's for sure. And I feel like, you learn as you learn as you go and you pick up more tips and training along the way and you go back to those blueprint notes and you review them again. But like you don't have to know everything to get started for sure. I feel like things just change over time and it evolves and then you'll figure out what's working for you and you just, you know, takes you on another path a little bit.
Yeah. And Jamie says the miracle is when you don't have to worry about money anymore. Jamie, how you doing, brother? Great to have you here.
For sure.
And my question is, even if you don't have money, do you have to worry about money? It's weird. It's a weird conundrum because it's like if in a certain business, like if you were just mowing lawns for money, it'd be easier. But if I'm creating content or I'm trying to help people with something, I want to help my client. But I'm only thinking about me getting money. It's difficult for me to be present with that. And that I think is the difference between I was listening to Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of JP Morgan Chase Banks. Mm-hmm. Jamie Dimon, he's a unique CEO. And I was listening to a talk that he gave this weekend, and he said that when I talk about a company, he said, I became the CEO and immediately put my money into the company. I bought stock of the company because I'm not a separate entity from the company. I am the company. Mm-hmm. The company is not a separate thing. So he says, I try to make it a regular thing that every week I'm out meeting clients. I'm going and understanding what their problems are. I'm talking with them. There's no way that he can be in a mindset of scarcity to get hired, put all his, now I know you're saying, well, he's a billionaire, Dave. He doesn't need, But let me tell you something. He didn't get that way. He didn't get there with a scarcity mindset. He did not get there with a scarcity mindset.
It's true.
And I guarantee if you go back and you read the auto or the biography of anybody who's became wealthy, who's became successful, you'll know, you'll find out that they went through suffering to serve.
Mm-hmm.
They went through suffering to serve. And eventually that serving came back. It just was delayed gratification. That service turned into an uncontrollable wave of success and wealth and riches. You look at a guy like Warren Buffett. I mean, he's another guy who just he's had the same philosophy about business. Delight the customer. You can go back and listen to talks that he gave in 1968, and mm-hmm. he was talking about similar things.
Same
and you
message.
Think, how did he develop a wealth of $80 billion? Because he had the right message and the right mindset, and he did it for an unbelievable amount of time. Yes. He stood the path when the stock market or whatever crashed and they got scared or they quit or they got freaked out and spooked. He stayed the course, continued to captain the ship.
Yeah, didn't give up on his mission. Mm-hmm.
Didn't give up on the mission, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, so, that's why your why is so important. If you're helping people, then you don't give up and you have that consistency. I feel like, yeah, you just have to stay the course.
I said last week, it was kind of an old MLM line. If your why doesn't make you cry, you know. It was I'm not really as fun, you know, I'm not really as crazy. That's some of the things that I used to hear in some of the MLM businesses, but there's truth to it. There's truth to it. I know people get on platforms and they get on pedestals and they do their hype talks and it sounds ridiculous, but there's a bit of it that's true. You know, if like what you're doing is not so important to you that like, I'm not saying you got to go die for it, but if you can't cry about it, like if your why won't make you cry, mm-hmm. Dig deeper,
right.
You know, dig deeper. In other words, if your why is just because you're broke and you're tired of eating McDonald's, I mean, just dig deeper. Just ask yourself, why do you want that?
Right.
Like, and then why do you want that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I was just going to say that the why is really important because it helps you keep that consistency and the motivation to keep going. Like I can't imagine at this point in my life putting my kids into a daycare situation and not being with them. And like later this week, I have a field trip with my daughter and my son for their preschool and kindergarten class. Like I can't imagine missing that. They're still looking forward to it so much. And mm-hmm. I get to be mystery reader at my son's preschool. Like those little moments they remember, and it means so much to me to be there. And I know that they feel so much love from me having me there for those moments, because not every parent gets to do that. So mm-hmm. I feel really, really fortunate.
Yeah. And that's wonderful and beautiful. And if you don't have children, I'd like to offer you a perspective that I have, which is that your why doesn't always have to be about somebody else. For me, for a long time, it was about seeing my story all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It was about all the pain and all the things I had gone through, not being in vain, right? Not actually being in vain, not just happening for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just challenge each one of you to think, you know, today on Monday, as we, you know, really move into the third or the fourth quarter of this year, and get ready for a brand new year, to think about your why. Like, why are you doing this? You know, and dig a little bit deeper and ask yourself, well, why do you want that? You know, why do you want that? Is it about your kids? Well, great. Maybe it is. And it's okay if it's about you too. If it's
Absolutely.
Just about you, if it's just about you, and somebody mentioned depression, well, maybe some of this stuff serving might help with your depression, William. Absolutely, my friend. As mm-hmm. a matter of fact, I can guarantee with almost certainty that it will. It might not cure. I don't know. I'm not an MD or a psychiatrist. I don't write prescriptions. I just have some experience serving and I have some experience getting out of myself. And I get, because I started it back in March of 2020, I now get the privilege of waking up every day and having a conversation and serving this community. And I'll sure tell you that it sure helps when I'm feeling depressed, because I get off these calls and I'm fired up.
I agree. I mean, I've gone up and down with, you know, bad times, and, you know, we all have our ups and downs in life and depression and high points in our life, and serving others and helping other people, I mean, that just gives you a huge boost. It gives you another focus besides yourself, and realizing that, you know, you do matter and you can help other people to have a good day. So,
yeah, you can. You can help others to have a good day. Yeah, this is
You're making me want to go get my babies right now. I brought them over to my parents' house so that I could have this 1 hour without interruptions. I might go grab them.
Is this your story? Well, one, her Aunt Trixie, can you please take Muffin's cone off? Such a little angel. All right. Well, hey, this has been wonderful. So I will, I'll let you go. And for the hour, it looks like you've got 3 minutes to yourself now. So you have to go back and get your children. Okay. There you go. Well, thanks so much for your time this morning. And Megan, keep up the great work. Be legendary and come back and talk to me again soon. Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, Dave.
All right. Bye. See you. All right, my friends, have a fantastic Monday. Have a fantastic week. Be legendary. And we'll be back here tomorrow for another episode, right? Will we? You won't, but I will be. Okay. See you, everybody. Take care. Be legendary. Get out of here. Peace.